Hello again, this is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. I welcome you to our study today. We're going back into our study of resurrection, the second letter R in the ABC format. In our ABC series of studies, the letter R. Resurrection is what we're talking about, and what our Bibles have to say about resurrection, what God instructed the authors to write and to record in the scriptures concerning the subject of resurrection and the doctrine of resurrection in all of its different forms, and that's what we've been going over. We finished our last study and talked about facts concerning spiritual resurrection, and we finished that up, and we're going back into our study again with a new topic concerning resurrection, and that's having to do with believers' bodies of the resurrection. Talking about the rapture particularly, but there will also be resurrections at different times. There are seven different resurrections in the scriptures, but having to do with the first resurrection, particularly the rapture and the second coming. The rapture and the second coming, there will be resurrections at that time, but living in this dispensation that we live in the time of the church, in the time of the body of Christ, we're concerned about the rapture and dying, or your body going back into the grave and you going to be with the Lord before the Lord comes at the time of the rapture, the catching away. Now, I'm not talking about the second coming. The rapture and the second coming have to do with the first resurrection, but they're two different events that are 7 years apart. The rapture is the first thing where the Lord comes to get the church, and there is a resurrection during that time that the bodies are going to come out of the grave, and you're going to get your body changed. If you're wearing your body when the Lord comes, or if you're in the grave, there will be resurrection at that time, and we will go to be with the Lord. But the Lord doesn't actually come down to the earth. We go up to be with Him. Now, during the 7 years later, during His second coming, the Lord actually comes, and there is a resurrection before that, before He comes at His second advent to come down here and make war and to straighten this world up just before the millennium, and to come down here and to wipe out all the God-haters and everybody that's His enemies. And we're coming back with Him at that time, and there'll be a resurrection just prior to that, having to do with the tribulation saints and so on and so forth. And we'll get into that more as we talk about that. But believers' bodies, what are they like? What are believers' bodies like at the resurrection? In other words, this new body that the Lord's been talking about, this new body. Now, it's definitely an interesting study, because I like to know what my new body is going to be like. I mean, if the Lord's making it, I'm fine with it. And if the Lord's supernaturally changing this wicked flesh that I'm wearing right now, that doesn't want to do anything good, and it has to be kept under lock and key to where it doesn't get its way, and it's dying, and it's painful, and it's sick, it gets sick, and it has to have food all the time, and it has to be nurtured, and it has to be taken care of all the time, and you just see after it like a little baby all the time, always having to do something to babysit this flesh. And then one day, and then it's going to pay you back by dying and going into the grave. You see, that's how all you people running around with your clothes off and everything and flaunting it all around and showing it off and trying to get other people attracted to your flesh, what a stupid thing to do. That flesh is vile, the Bible says. It says cover it up. Cover it up. Only a vile thinking person or a sex pervert would walk around thinking that somebody having their flesh uncovered and walking around flaunting their flesh, it's like you carrying a corpse around trying to get somebody excited over it. Because that's all it is. You say, well, you're going way out there, brother. No, I ain't going way out of nothing. That's just as simple as it is. That's just as honest and truthful as it is. That's Scripture, man. That's what God thinks of that. And that's what your flesh really, really is. You don't see no 80 and 90-year-old people walking around with mini skirts on. And, well, you might nowadays, but you don't see that kind of mess because them bodies get wore out and there ain't nothing to show. Nothing to get nobody excited or lust over. But if you're trying to use that vile body that you have and uncover it and cause people to lust, you're doing wrong to begin with. And you're doing wrong by yourself. You're doing wrong by the Lord. You're doing wrong by the Scriptures. And you're doing wrong by the ones that you're attracting to your flesh. Because it's wicked. This flesh ain't no good. It's rotten. It's going back to the dirt. And unless God comes at the rapture and we're alive, just say if the Lord come by the time we finish this study right here, then your body's going to be changed while you're wearing it. And you're going up, man, going up to be with the Lord. He's not coming down here. We're going to meet him in the air, the Bible says. That's the next event to happen is the bride's going to be caught out. If you're born again, you're part of the bride of Christ, and you're included in that, and your body is going to be changed, and as you wear it, and it's going to become immortal, and it's going to be turn into a body like what we're going to talk about today. And there are some people that have a problem with what the Bible teaches about these bodies. But let me ask you something. If God said that there was blue people, and he said it, that's just the way it is, that God is making some bodies and they're going to be blue, what would you think of that? Well, you'd think that was nonsense to begin with because, never heard of no blue bodies. But what if God said that in the Scriptures? Listen, you're getting a new body and it's going to be blue. What would you have to say about it? Would you turn it down? If God said it was going to be immortal and it was going to be perfect, it was going to be righteous, it was going to be holy, it was going to be likened unto his glorious body, and it was going to be perfect, what would you think of that? Well, you'd say, well, whatever God wants, right? Whatever God says is perfect, then it's perfect. And whatever he says about that body, I'm happy with it. And that's the way you should think. But then you get these clowns that think they know more than God the Holy Ghost does and what the Scriptures have to say about the bodies, and they stir up things in the bride of Christ concerning the bodies, some things hard to believe that are very simple to believe. You're supposed to believe the Scriptures like a child, with childlike faith. God says it, that's it, I believe it, period. What he says, I believe. So that's the way we're supposed to believe concerning these bodies that the Lord's talking about. Now, he didn't go into detail, very descriptive detail concerning the bodies. Well, you're going to have brown hair, you're going to have this, you're going to have that. It's going to be, so the bodies are going to be black, or the bodies are going to be blue, or the bodies are going to be fleshy, or the bodies are going to be olive skin tone. The Bible doesn't describe that. The Bible says that they are celestial, they are spiritual bodies, and we're going to get into more of that right now. But there are some details concerning the bodies and what they're going to be like that the Lord did tell us, but they're generalized details, and they had to do with spirituality and the change from going from mortal to immortal, from earthy to heavenly. It didn't go into detail about, well, what about the black people? Are their bodies going to be black? What about the white people? Are their bodies going to be white? What about the Hispanics? Are they going to be brown? Or what about the Eastern people? Are they going to have olive skin? We don't know. The Bible doesn't say. The Bible gives us details about the bodies as far as going from heavenly, from earthy to heavenly, as far as going from a natural body to a spiritual body, and the changes that are in order and the information that the Lord wanted us to have concerning those topics. But when it comes down to, it wouldn't matter. It wouldn't matter to me what the Lord wanted my body to be like. I would thank Him for it anyway, wouldn't you? And won't you? Won't you thank Him for it anyway, no matter what it is? Aren't you tired of babysitting that body you got? You should be. You should be. It ain't nothing but trouble. And any of y'all that say, well, mine ain't no trouble, just wait a little while. Just wait a little while. Just wait a little while. So, having said all that, let's get into this and go through this and just talk about concerning resurrection. Remember, that's our study, resurrection. And at the resurrection, what resurrection? Well, the rapture. That's the first part of the second coming. The first part of the second coming comes in two different events, if you will. The first event that's going to happen, that's going to start the second coming of Jesus Christ, is the rapture. The Lord is going to come, but He's not going to put His feet on the earth. He's going to call out the bride of Christ, that's us, and that's going to stop this dispensation, the age of grace, and we're all going to leave. And everybody that's not been born again is staying. And everybody that leaves is going to get a new body. And all the ones that died before the rapture, before the Lord comes, that first event of the second coming, where we're going to be caught up, all the people that died are coming with Him, and the Lord's going to raise up their bodies out of this earth where they are presently and change them and give them back to them. That's the resurrection we're talking about. Believers' bodies at the resurrection. Okay, that's the rapture. That's what we're talking about. We're not talking about the second part of the second coming, which is 7 years later, whenever we've already been in heaven with the Lord for 7 years, and we mount up on horses and we come back to make war with Him. And when He comes down here to straighten this planet out, and get rid of all the hell-bound people, and to annihilate the UN and all their soldiers, and to straighten up this mess that's down here, and to destroy the Antichrist, to put the devil in his place, and just to get some order. And then He's going to rule and reign and set up the millennial kingdom. We're going to have... We're going to have life on this earth for 1,000 years, and it's going to be like the Lord. It's going to be a monarchy. The Lord is going to be King, the Lord Jesus Christ, and He's going to rule and reign, and we're going to rule and reign with Him if you suffer with Him right now during this time. And you are, if you're studying this right now, you're suffering with the Lord, and you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, because you have to suffer to study God's Word. And that's a good thing. There's bad suffering and wrong suffering and suffering for all the wrong things. And then there's suffering for the right things and suffering for good things. And the right kind of suffering. Matter of fact, the Bible calls it the sacrifice of thanksgiving. What do you mean, thanksgiving to be a sacrifice? Well, you have to make yourself do it. You have to make yourself thankful. You have to be thankful in spite of yourself. That's a sacrifice, man. And that's what the Lord's talking about in some places, about the sacrifice of thanksgiving. Amen? All right, enough of that. Well, let's get into our study. Believers' bodies of the resurrection. Now, whatever God says about these bodies, that we're going to be, our flesh is going to turn from natural to supernatural. It's going to turn from an earthy body to a heavenly body, to a mortal body to an immortal body. Whatever these bodies are like, number one, we don't care. We love and appreciate the Lord and thank Him for whatever He's going to do. Amen? Amen. All right, well, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 51 through 53, "Behold, I show you a mystery." You see, even Paul said, this thing is a mystery. It's a mystery. You can't figure it out, but I'm showing it to you. It's a mystery. Paul said right off the bat, it's a mystery. I mean, it ain't been figured out. "We shall not all sleep." In other words, everybody ain't going to be dead at this event. "We shall not all sleep." And notice that sleep right there when he's talking about a person's dead body. A Christian, a born-again Bible believer, a person that is in the bride of Christ, their body is asleep, and they're gone and with the Lord. But he says, "I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep." They're not dead. They're sleeping. The body is in the ground, rotted, but it's sleeping, according to the Scriptures. Did you get that? You got to be careful with that. And read the Bible for what it says. And when the Bible refers to a Christian being in the grave, it talks about him sleeping. And he fell asleep. Talking about Stephen when he was stoned and he fell asleep. Look at it. It's all over the place. They're not dead. They're with the Lord. Their body is asleep, even though it did die. But they're not dead. There's grave differences in the Scriptures than a saved and an unsaved person. "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye." Now, that's how fast that thing's going to happen. It didn't say blinking. It said twinkling. Twinkling is how long it takes light to bounce off of your eyeball. And they've done some measurements about that and stuff like that, and it's an incredible amount of an instant. It's faster than faster than faster than instantaneous. Okay? It's just real fast. All right? "In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead," that's the ones that are sleeping, "the dead shall be raised incorruptible." Those bodies are coming up. That's what the Lord said. We're talking about resurrection. "And the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we," talking about we which are alive and remain, we are that are still in our body, "shall be changed. For this corruptible," you see how God describes, you see how the Bible describes what you're wearing right now? "For this corruptible must put on incorruption." You can't go to heaven in that body you're wearing. God don't want them things there. Not in that condition. So he's going to change them. Aren't you glad? I'm glad and thankful and glory hallelujah. I ain't got to live in this stinking thing for eternity. What a curse that would be. "For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality." So there we go. First things first. There's doctrine right there that this thing has to be changed in order to go be with the Lord. Believers' bodies of the resurrection at the rapture are going to be changed. The corruptible body is going to put on incorruption. I don't know how God does that. It's His power. It's His business. I can't do it, and I ain't never known a human being that can do it or has done it. But the Lord says He's going to do it, and it's going to do it. I ain't never seen an incorruptible human being. Have you? No, you haven't. And this mortal, well, you say Batman is, or Spider-Man is, or Superman is. You keep watching them movies. Keep watching them movies. "For the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised." Isn't that kind of interesting? That's what people make movies about anyway, is about human beings being incorruptible. You ever watch Superman? You ever see how he had to change from incorruptible to become a corruptible human being in order to have his girlfriend and all that sort of business? Isn't that funny? Isn't that funny how that happens? A lot of that stuff comes right from this Bible, friend, right from this Bible. At the last trump, the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. All right, first thing about these bodies is that they have to be changed, and they're going to be changed. Incorruptible, and we shall be changed, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Must put on immortality. What else? Well, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13 and 18. These are the two verses that talk about this event that's going to take place, the first part of the second coming. The first event, there's two events, like I told you, having to do with the second coming, the rapture and the actual second coming of the Lord Jesus when he comes and sets his feet down on this earth and makes war. But the 7 years prior to that is going to be the rapture, and it's an event, it's a private event, and the second coming when the Lord comes is going to be a public event. This is going to be a private event having to do with him and his bride, and that's us. And he's going to take us out of here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 through 18 says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep." Did you get that? Asleep again. Did you get that? Brethren that are asleep. What do you mean? Their bodies are in the grave. They're with the Lord, but their bodies are in the grave. And they're not dead, they're asleep. Because God's going to wake them up and change them. "But I would not have you be ignorant, brethren." He's addressing the church, addressing the bride of Christ. "Concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope." Unsaved people. "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, them also which sleep in Jesus," there's you sleep again, "sleep in Jesus, will God bring with him." When the Lord comes back, he's bringing them with him, and he's going to reunite them with those bodies that are sleeping. "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first." They're coming out of them graves first. "Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up." There's your rapture. Caught up. "Shall be caught up together with them." With who? With the dead bodies that come out of them graves and are changed, "with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air." The Lord's not coming down the earth at this event. "To meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." You're going to be changed. Having to do with the resurrection, the believer's body, your body. At the resurrection, it's going to be resurrected, it's going to be changed. And if you're still in that body, it's going to be resurrected while you're wearing it. It's going to be changed while you're wearing it, while you're on your way up into the air to meet the Lord and be with him forever. That's all wonderful, wonderful news, isn't it? Yes, it is. All right. Well, there's the introduction having to do with that. Now let's talk about some facts concerning believers' bodies of the resurrection and what the Bible teaches. Are the bodies blue? Do they have long hair or short hair? The Bible doesn't tell us things like that. It talks about what we just got through talking about. It talks about changing from mortal to immortal, from natural to spiritual, from earthy to heavenly, and things of that nature. Here's the first one. The bodies become like the elect angels who are in heaven. All the angels that are in heaven, the ones that are up there, the Bible says that the bodies that we are going to have are going to be like those. The bodies become like the elect angels who are in heaven. Listen to what the scripture says. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 21. "I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels that thou observe these things without preferring one before another, doing nothing by partiality. Now, having said that, I charge thee before God and before the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels that thou observe these things without preferring one another, doing nothing by partiality. Notice how he included those elect angels when he was talking about the Lord Jesus Christ and before God and the elect angels. Now, that'll come up as we're talking about these changes as we move on. Remember that. All right. The next thing is, the first thing is the bodies become like the elect angels who are in heaven. The elect angels already have are bodies, but that are in heaven are like the Lord's going to make us when we get into heaven. He's got to be changed. We got to be changed. All right. Secondly, the bodies like the angel of the Lord are male. Are male. Now, these things are going to fold together. Every one of these things that we're talking about, like the bodies become like the elect angels, and then this one here, the bodies like the angel of the Lord are male. All of these things are going to come together, and they're going to form together to show you a picture of what's going to happen concerning these bodies. The bodies like the angel of the Lord are male. Well, what do you mean? Matthew chapter 22 and verse 30. Listen to it. For in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. We just talked about that, the elect angels in heaven. Jesus said that at the resurrection, that our bodies are going to be like the but are as the angels of God that are in heaven. And how did he describe that? That they neither marry or are given in marriage. Well, what is marriage? Marriage is a male and a female coming together and forming one. That scriptural marriage is that a male and a female become one. Not the celebration, not the ceremony, but the actual flesh joining flesh. That does not take place in heaven because there's no such thing as flesh joining flesh, a male joining a female in heaven, which is considered marriage. Neither marry nor are given in marriage. There's no such thing as marriage in heaven because there's not male and female. They're males. And as we move on, you'll see that. So the first thing that we see is that they are like the elect angels in heaven. The bodies are like the angel of the Lord, for in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. Talking about marriage, the angels in heaven are all one sex. They're not sexless like these nuts try to teach you out there. The Bible doesn't teach that. It says that they are male. Now let's move on. You'll see this thing come together. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 17. Listen to what it says. And he, did you get that? Not she, he. And he measured the wall thereof 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of the angel. Did you see how the Lord, in the scriptures there, now this is John up there, he's writing down these measurements, and the Lord's given, this angel is walking around measuring things, and John is recording this, and John is taking notes of this so he can put it in the Word of God, which we have right now. Okay, and while he's doing this, he says, who the angel that John was with, measured the wall thereof, 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, how a man would measure things. All right, that is of the angel. In other words, the angel was a man, or in the form of a man. He male, measured the wall thereof 144 cubits according to the measure of a man, not a female, not a woman, a man, according to the measure of a man, that is, of the angel. The angel was a man. Did you get that? All right. And the Bible teaches us that the bodies, like the angel of the Lord, are male. The angels are males. The scriptures, anytime they address anything having to do with an angel, and when you think of angels, think of an appearance. That'll give you the best description throughout all the scenarios in the scripture. When it talks about angels, think of angels as an appearance. Because angels can take different forms. And we'll see more about that later on. And don't get let that trip you up. But angels are males. They're not females. They're males. All right, let's move on. All right, thirdly. Now remember, stack these truths that we're talking about. Don't try to get your answer out of just one of these things that we're talking about. Stack them as we go, and you'll see this thing come together. All right, the third thing. The angel of the Lord appears as a 33-year-old male as at his resurrection, which is as the resurrection bodies will be. The angel of the Lord appears as a 33-year-old male at his resurrection, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, which is as the resurrection bodies will be. Now listen, does the Bible say that? That our bodies are going to be like unto his body? Well, let's see. Galatians chapter 4, verse 14. And my temptation, which was in my flesh, ye despised not, nor rejected, but received me as an angel of God, even as Jesus Christ. Notice that it's comparing an angel of God, even as Jesus Christ. All right, Romans chapter 8 and verse 11. The angel of the Lord, now listen to this. The angel of the Lord appears as a 33-year-old male at his resurrection, which is as the resurrection bodies will be, the ones that we're going to get. They're going to be 33-year-old male bodies. And that is when a male body is at its peak as far as being in the flesh. A man's body is at its peak at 33. And that is when the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified, when he went through his temptation, when he went through the crucifixion, his death, when he lived his life. He was in his early 30s and crucified at actually around 33 and a half years old. All right, but Romans chapter 8, verse 11. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. All right? You're going to be changed. God the Holy Ghost dwells in you. You're going to be, God the Holy Ghost is the one that raised up Jesus Christ's body from the dead. And he's going to raise your body up and make it alive and bring it back to life and give it back to you. And or you're going to be changed, one or the other, whichever the scenario is, by his spirit that dwelleth in you. All right, and moving on, Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20 and 21. What are we talking about? We're talking about believers' bodies of the resurrection. The first thing is that the bodies become like the elect angels who are in heaven. Notice how the Lord has always got the angels, be talking about the angels when he's talking about male bodies and he's talking about changing bodies. And when he gets into the scenario of changing our bodies at the resurrection, he's talking about the same. When he's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ being raised from the dead, he's talking about a male body that was the angel of the Lord's body and raising it up from the dead, that it was male, that it was around 33 and a half years old. All right, the bodies, like the angel of the Lord, are male. The angel of the Lord appears as a 33-year-old male That's what the Lord was when he died, when he was buried, and he was resurrected, which is as the resurrection bodies will be. Is that what the Bible teaches? Yes, it is. It says that our bodies are going to be like his body, his glorious body. Listen to what it says in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20 and 21. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior. Who's that? Jesus Christ, who resurrected from the dead, and God changed his body. The Lord changed his body, and it was a spiritual body. It was a fleshly body when he died, and I don't know how the Lord did it, but it did not corrupt, and when he come out of that grave, it was a spiritual body, but it was still flesh and bone. I don't know how the Lord does that, but he does it, and that's how he's going to do it to us. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence we also look for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may, get this now, stack this stuff up and get it, who shall change our vile body, what body? The body we're wearing, that it may be fashioned, made to look like, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. Well, what about his glorious body? Well, it was like the angels in heaven. It was 33 and a half years old when he resurrected. That the angel of the Lord, it was like the elect angels in heaven and their bodies, and he's male. He's male. Okay? Let me find my place again. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. It said his, not hers, his glorious body. According to the working whereby he is able also to subdue all things unto himself. He can do whatever he wants. He has the power to do what he wants. He can subdue anything under his power and his command. According to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. He can make things like he wants them to be. They're going to be like the elect angels in heaven. They're going to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. They're going to be male. They're going to be like the measure of a man, which is an angel, which is male. Remember that? Okay, and it's going to be a 33-year-old male. It was like the Lord Jesus Christ's body. It says, going to be fashioned like unto his glorious body. Well, what about his glorious body? Well, it was about 33 and a half years old. It was immortal. It was spiritual. It was flesh and bone. And there are some other interesting things that has to do with it. Now, you say, wait a minute, brother. What about the women? It said, like his glorious body. And that there is that the bodies that in the resurrection are going to be like the angels in heaven, which are male, and that they are not going, and the reason he described it that way and said that because there's no marriage in heaven. You don't need female bodies in heaven. Because there's no, the angels, our bodies are going to be like unto the angels in heaven that are not neither given marriage or are married. And what is married? A male and a female. There are no female bodies. Did you get that? That's some hard stuff. Remember we talked about if God wanted the bodies blue, that you'd say whatever? Okay, well, what if God just wants all the bodies male? Well, that's what the Bible teaches. You're not going to find any place in the Scriptures that the bride of Christ has a female in it when it gets to heaven. That's interesting in itself, isn't it? But that's what the Bible says. It's like the angels in heaven, and it's like unto his glorious body. Well, what did the Lord have? He had a male body, not a sexless body, a male body. No, there's no such thing as a sexless angel anywhere in the scripture. And there's no such thing as a female angel except mentioned one time, and that's the devilish angel in the book of Revelation. One time mentioned there, and it's a creature. I don't know what it is, but it hadn't got anything to do with the scenario of angels in general. Angels in the scriptures are male, always. And they do not ever have wings. And they are not female, ever. Read your Bible and see this stuff. That's what it says. So you women, according to the scriptures, are going to be changed. That's what the Bible says. You're going to be changed. Change means changed. And you're not only going to be changed from earthy to heavenly, from terrestrial to celestial, you're going to be changed from female to male. You say, "Ah, you're just getting way out there now." Well, let's see what the scripture says. It said, like unto his glorious body. Is a female's body like Jesus Christ's body? No, it's not. And why don't you need female bodies in heaven? Because there's no marriage. You don't need a female because they don't marry. What is marrying? A male and a female coming together. Males don't come together, remember? Except here on earth under this perverted generation that's going on. But it's not a scriptural marriage, and it's not anything to do. It's perversion, and it's wicked. And females, too, by the way. All right? But in heaven, there is no marriage. And they're neither given in marriage. Why? Because there are no females. There's no need for a female there because they don't breed. Did you get that? Yeah, there's still females down here on earth, but not in heaven. Not at this event we're talking about where the bride is caught out. When the bride's caught out, you're going to be changed. We're talking about resurrection bodies. Remember that. When the bodies, it's getting deep, ain't it? But it's true. But it's true. Show me something different. Show me something different. Show me a female body in the bride of Christ up in heaven. Show me. It ain't there. Show me a female angel. No such thing. Show me a female angel with wings. It ain't there. Show me a little fat, naked baby sitting on a cloud with wings playing a viol. There's no such thing. Angels are males 100% of the time in the scriptures. And they always appear as a 33-year-old or right at that appearance. And anybody that has ever met an angel in the scriptures has described them as a young man. Male. Always. And even called them an angel. And knew they were angels. But they were in the appearance. Remember I told you about when you think about angels, think of appearance. But they were in the appearance of a man. A male. A young man. All right, moving right along. Let's read this one more time so we can get ourselves back where we was. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21 says, "For our conversation is in heaven." That's where we're going to live. That's where we're going to have all our businesses. That's where our promises are. That's where we are looking forward to. That's our conversation. Everything having to do with our life, our conversation, is in heaven. "From whence also we look for the Savior." That's what we're waiting on. "The Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body." I don't know how it can get any plainer. "According to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself." If he wants to change a body from a female to a male, he can do it. And he's going to do it. All right, what else? Well, Christ's resurrection body is made up of flesh and bone with no blood. No blood. As the believers' bodies will be. You won't need blood. Blood is part of your problem. Man didn't have blood until Adam fell. They say that they think water was flowing through our body. I'm not sure. The Bible doesn't say, but when you study it out and you just get some thoughts about it, you can't prove it, but you can also prove, but one thing about blood is a curse to you. The problem with your body is your blood. The life of the flesh is in the blood. Your blood is what kills you. It's killing you. It's keeping you alive as long as it's flowing and everything. But if that blood ever stops flowing and that blood coagulates, your flesh dies. The blood is a problem. We were not the way that we are now. Something changed in Adam when he ate that, and it had to do with his blood. Christ, when he was resurrected, and his body is alive, and it is spiritual body, and it's made up of flesh and bone, but with no blood. The blood that he had in his body before he died was God's blood. It wasn't human blood. That's why his body didn't corrupt. You see that? But Christ's resurrection body is made up of flesh and bone, no blood. The Bible says that our bodies are going to be fashioned like unto his glorious body. All right, what about it? Luke chapter 24. Let's read that. But they were terrified and affrighted. This is when the Lord come through that wall or through that door when they was in the upper room those couple times, remember? All right, and he appeared to them. Remember, an angel is an appearance. An appearance. All right, and the Lord's called the angel of the Lord. And angels are male. Remember? This stuff is stacking truth upon truth. Now, get it. Luke chapter 24, verse 37 through 39. But they were terrified and affrighted. And supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, why are you troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet. He had hands and feet. Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bone, as you see me have. He didn't say flesh and blood. He said flesh and bone. A spirit hath not flesh and bone, as you see me have. They thought they seen a spirit when Jesus appeared there. And it scared them. And Jesus said, hey, calm down, boys, calm down. Come over here and touch me. Handle me and see. He said, spirits don't have flesh and bone as ye see me have. Jesus didn't say nothing about no blood. He said, I have flesh and bone. Here I am standing in a body, a spiritual resurrected body, that I can appear to you and come through without knocking, come through them walls without knocking, and appear to you. And it's not a spirit. It's a body. And it has flesh and bone. And the Bible says your body's going to be like that. It's going to be like Jesus's. 33 and a half years old, a male, is going to have, is going to be able to appear and to disappear at will, and it's going to have flesh and bone without no blood. Show me something different. That's what the scripture says. And who cares what the Lord wants it to be like? It's going to be beautiful. It's going to be wonderful. If it's like the Lord's, right? Even if it was blue. But it's not going to be blue. It's going to be like the Lord's. I'm sure they would have brought that up if they had been in the upper room and the Lord appeared with a blue body. But he didn't. He didn't. And if it's going to be male or female, who cares? What the Lord says is fine. And the scriptures are right and true. Right? Right. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 50. Listen to this. Now, this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood, not flesh and bone, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. It's either corruptible or incorruptible. It either has blood or it does not have blood. It's either flesh and bone or flesh and blood. And if it's flesh and blood, it cannot inherit the kingdom of God. There can't be any of this corrupt blood in your new body. And it's not going to be. Jesus said his was flesh and bone. You see how perfect the scriptures come together when you rightly divide them and not wrongly divide them? You see that? See that thing? All right, what else about these resurrection bodies? Well, the body will be the one that we will receive at his coming in the air. This is at the rapture. This is the first event of two that take place called the resurrection. At the second coming. The second coming has two events. The first one is the rapture, which is him coming in the air. The second one is 7 years later, and he's coming to the earth then to make war. All right, so get that. Make that difference. Remember that when you're reading the scriptures, that there's two different events that are under one name. The second coming is the name. The two events are the rapture and the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, okay? All right, he's coming in the air. The body will be the one that we will receive at his coming in the air. 1 John chapter 3, let's read that, and verse 1 through 3. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, there his appearance is coming in the air, when he shall appear, we shall be like him. How is that confusing? That's not confusing. That's simple. You say that to a third grader. What's it mean to be like somebody else? Well, you be like them, Brother TV. We shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Even as he is pure. The body will be the one that we will receive at his second coming. That's what it just said. When we see him, and when he comes, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. That's when the change is going to happen. It is when he comes in the air and we see him. We see him. But he's coming in the air. He's not coming to the earth to get us. He's coming in the air and we're going up to him. That's what the scripture teaches. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51 through 53, we read. We're going to read again. It says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, this mortal must put on immortality. Must put on immortality. All right, one other, Luke chapter 24 has something to say about that. In verse 30 and 31, it says, and it came to pass, as he said it, meet with them, talking about the two fellows that he was walking on the road to Emmaus, and he stopped and spent the night with them. It said that when they were sitting at the dinner table, and it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them, and their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. These bodies, these new bodies that we have, are going to be able to appear and vanish upon will. Isn't that something? You say, well, I don't know if that's what it's teaching. Well, I mean, what about chameleons? What about octopuses? They could vanish out of your sight. They can be sitting right in front of you and grab hold of a rock, and they'll disappear in front of your eyes. You say, well, nothing. What's the Bible say? It says our bodies are going to be fashioned like unto His glorious body, and we're going to be like Him. We're talking about resurrection bodies, the new body you're going to get. And it came to pass, as He sat with meat with them, He took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them, and their eyes were opened, and they knew Him. You know why? Because when He was walking down the road with them to begin with, He had made Himself of a different fashion of a man. He changed Himself. He didn't look like Jesus that they knew before. He looked like somebody else. And it said they when He was sitting there at the meal with them, I mean, they would have recognized Jesus. They had just seen Him get crucified. And this thing was all over. Jerusalem was the top news that the Jew hierarchy had just killed Jesus Christ. The Romans killed Him, but the Jews had to do with it. And they're walking down the road talking about it, as a matter of fact. They knew what Jesus looked like, but they didn't recognize this man that was walking with them because He changed Himself. And then when He was sitting at meat and He broke the bread and gave it to them, their eyes were opened, and they knew Him. They recognized Him through that different fashion that His body was in. And He vanished out of their sight, disappeared. You're talking about God, folks, and you're talking about the power whereby God can do whatever He wants to do. Why would you think that supernatural things that God can do with bodies and do, wouldn't you want God to be that way? I don't want the Lord to be limited when it comes to perfection and holiness and righteousness and my body being like His body. Why would you think God couldn't do something like that? He can, and He will, and He does. And their eyes were open, and they knew Him, and He vanished out of their sight. And He vanished out of their sight. Now, the body will be able to travel at supernatural speeds. You say, what? Yeah. Hadn't you ever wanted to fly? Well, you say, well, what do you mean? Our body's going to be fashioned like the Lord Jesus Christ's body, right? Well, it's going to be able to appear and disappear at will. It's going to be able to travel at supernatural speeds. You see, I can't tell you what color it's going to be. I can't tell you how much hair is going to be on it. I can't tell you this. I can tell you it's going to be flesh and bone. I tell you it's going to be male. I tell you it's going to be like the angels in heaven. It's going to be like 33 and a half years old male. It's going to be able to appear and disappear at will because our bodies are going to be like Jesus' body. And be able to do and fashion like unto His glorious body. All right. What about John chapter 20? And talking about traveling at supernatural speeds. Jesus, when He resurrected, from the time that He was standing there at the tomb and met Mary, and He told Mary, don't touch Him, I've not yet ascended to my Father. It wasn't but just hours later that He met up with the women again, and He let them touch Him. He'd done been all the way to the third heaven and back in that little bit of period of time. That's some traveling, man. But He's able to do it in His glorious body. And the Bible says we're going to be fashioned like unto His glorious body and be able to do the things that He can do. Excuse me. John 20, verse 16, 17. Jesus saith unto her, Mary, and she turned herself and saith unto Him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. He's standing there in a body, a resurrected body, and said, don't touch me yet. There was some reason that she couldn't touch Him. And I believe it had to do with her being evil and her corruptible body and Jesus being in His something had to be done that he had to go to the third heaven and ascend to his Father about, whatever that business was, he had to go do first before he could be touched by anybody down here. And he did it that way. He said, touch me not, for I'm not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. And he went on and told them and said, I'll meet you in Galilee. Tell them I'll meet him in Galilee. Meet him in Galilee. And he did. Several hours later. I think it was 8 or whatever it was, but it wasn't much time at all. Went all the way to the third heaven and came back. Now that's supernatural speed. And the more we get into this study about where we're going to live in the New Jerusalem and all these planets and all this stuff and all these things, and you get all that stuff together and you mold it all together, it comes together perfectly about why we're going to need bodies to be able to get around that fast. You know, God's not limited. He can do anything he wants to do. He can be born of a virgin. He can die and come back to life. We can't do that. We're the corruptible ones. We're the evil ones. We're the ones that have the curse upon us. We are the ones that need help. And we're the ones that need to be changed. And we're going to be changed like him. That's what the Bible says. And it's going to be like the angels, the elect angels in heaven. It's going to be fashioned like a male body. It's going to be fashioned like his glorious body. It's going to travel faster at supernatural speeds. It's going to be able to appear and disappear at will. It's going to be able to pass through. We're going to get these bodies at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, at the rapture, or him coming in the air. The Bible says when we see him as he is, that we're going to be changed and we'll be like him. All right. And in Matthew chapter 28, I don't know why I'm coughing so much. I'm sorry about that. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 9, it says, and as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them. This is the second time. Jesus had already been to heaven. He told Mary, don't touch him. Don't touch me. He said, I got to go to my Father. He said, go tell my brethren that I'm going to my Father and my God and your God and my Father and your Father. And he said, I'll be back. He said, go tell them to meet me in Galilee. And then Matthew chapter 28 says, and as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. And he didn't stop them. Whatever went on between the time that he commanded them to go talk to them disciples and say, you've seen me, I'm real, I'm resurrected, I'm going to my Father, don't touch me, I'll be back. From that time they took off and they was headed to go tell, and Jesus met them again. And this time, he let them touch him. Now he'd already been all the way to the third heaven where God the Father dwells. And back. Now that's fast, man. And our bodies are going to be like that. We're going to be like unto his glorious body, the Bible says. You can believe that or not believe that. That's what the Bible says. I don't know why you wouldn't believe it. Why wouldn't you want to be like Jesus? And who cares? I don't mind traveling at supernatural speed. Do you? I don't mind having a body that can appear and disappear at will. I don't mind having a body that can travel through solid objects. Do you? I don't mind a body that I can eat and that's going to be changed when the Lord Jesus Christ comes and that the Lord promises to change. I don't mind all these things. And I especially don't mind him telling me in his word about it. He hadn't mentioned anything about fingernails or what color your skin's going to be and who's going to have brown hair and red hair and green hair and whether you're blue or green or red. He ain't mentioned any of that stuff. He's talking about mortal to immortality to terrestrial to celestial to being changed and gives us a few earmarks about what the body's going to be able to do according to what his body could do. But the Lord said we're going to be fashioned like unto His glorious body, and we're going to have bodies like Him. They were male. They were supernatural. They could travel at supernatural speeds. They could eat and drink. And that's the next thing, is the body's going to be able to eat food. Jesus ate all over the place with people whenever He was 40 days before He ascended. He ate with all kinds of folks in a supernatural body that had flesh and bone. Flesh and bone. Luke chapter 24, verse 40 and 40 through 43 says, "And when He had," excuse me, "thus spoken, He showed them His hands and His feet." You can see this body. "He showed them His hands and His feet, and while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, He said unto them, Have ye here any meat? Got anything to eat? And they gave Him a piece of broiled fish and of an honeycomb, and He took it and did eat before them in a resurrected body that had already been to heaven and back, and that people could touch, and it had flesh and bone. It was male, 33 and a half years old, and supernatural, immortal body, spiritual body." Isn't that wonderful stuff? You say, what are you wailing about? Haven't we read the Scriptures as we've been talking? What is it about the Scriptures that are wrong or that you don't believe? Of course it's going to be different. It needs to be different. Have you looked at yourself in the mirror lately? You don't want to live in that body for the rest of your life. You don't want to be limited as you are. You can't do nothing in that body that you're in. What can you do? Just the things that I've mentioned so far, not having blood and being flesh and bone and having a body like unto His glorious body, being 33 years old, you're going to be at your peak, man. You're going to have the best. You're going to be perfect. We just read the Scriptures and believe what they say. That's what we believe. And that's why we believe the things that we're talking about, is because the Scriptures have told us that's what's so. All right, let's read some more. We don't know if they're going to, what color they're going to be. We don't know what eye color you're going to have. The Bible doesn't say these things. They could have said them, but it don't. But what it does tell us, and that we can discern from the truth of the Scriptures, and we can rightly divide and not wrongly divide it, and we can put it together and say, well, this is what the Scriptures teaches. We can rejoice in that. The Bible says, "And when He had thus spoken, He showed them His hands and His feet, and while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, He said unto them, Have ye any meat? And they gave Him a piece of broiled fish and a honeycomb, and He took it and did eat before them." We're going to be able to eat. You're going to be able to eat broiled fish and honeycomb if you've got a body like Jesus Christ. And it says that's what we're going to get. And finally, one other. Well, let me read you John chapter 21, verse 10 through 14. Jesus said unto them, "Bring of the fish which ye have caught now, which ye have now caught." Remember, Jesus was resurrected and the guys were out fishing. And Jesus was on the beach and told them, said, "Throw your net over there." And they caught all these fish. And He said, bring some of them fish and let's eat. Jesus said unto them, "Bring of the fish which ye have now caught." Simon Peter went up and drew of the net to land full of great fishes, and 153, and for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus saying to them, "Come and dine. Come on, let's eat." And none of His disciples durst ask Him, "Who art thou?" knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. And he sat down and ate with them on the beach. And ate some of the fish that he gave them in the net. And they'd done been out fishing all night. And the Lord said, cast out. Excuse me. But he sat down and eat. Your new body's going to be able to eat. And not because it needs it, but because you're talking about eating for pleasure and eating for fellowship and eating, just eating. The Lord ate. And the last thing we're going to talk about the resurrected body that we're going to receive is the body will be able to change form. It'll be able to change form. I just mentioned that a while ago when Jesus was walking on the road to Emmaus, that he changed form in front of those men. They didn't recognize him until he opened their eyes when they were sitting at meal that evening, and they recognized who he was, and then he vanished. When he came into the upper room the two separate times, he appeared. He didn't knock on the door and walk in. He appeared to them, and they could touch him. And he could eat in front of them and sit down and eat. And said he was not a spirit. He was flesh and bone. This is the body that you're going to get. Your body's going to be fashioned like unto that body that Jesus has. Mark chapter 16, verse 12. After that he appeared in another form unto two of them as they walked and went into the country. That's what I'm talking about right there. When the two men that had just left Jerusalem and were walking on the road to Emmaus, and they were talking about the crucifixion, and Jesus fell in the traffic with them and was walking along with them and asking questions about this crucifixion, about this Jesus, and about this thing that they were talking about. And he started preaching to them about the Old Testament and giving them scripture after scripture. And they didn't know who he was. He was in a different form, because the scripture says, after that he appeared in another form unto them, unto the two of them, as they walked and went into the country. It must have been another form of another human being or another form of a human. He changed form. Than the form he was before, because they didn't recognize him until he opened their eyes at the meal during that evening. And when they did, they rejoiced and ran all the way back to Jerusalem to tell them they seen the Lord, even though he had changed. But they recognized him, and he vanished. So that new body you're going to get is going to be able to change form. Change form. And we get into more of that, even to people that are going to die and go to hell, and their bodies, and the form that their bodies are going to be in different forms and things like that. And we get into the scriptures and talk some more about that kind of stuff as we move through this resurrection study. So there we go. There we go. We're going to stop right there, and that'll be enough to talk about the believers' bodies at the resurrection. Your bodies are going to be changed. And notice, as we went through there and discussed all that stuff, we didn't talk about fingernails, we didn't talk about hair color, we didn't talk about eye color, we didn't talk about skin color, we didn't talk about all that. It wasn't necessary, and it wasn't recorded, and it wasn't given to us to know. But what it was given to us is from mortal to immortal, from terrestrial to celestial, from a corrupt body to an incorruptible body, to a body like what we got now that's dying and corrupting, to a body like what Jesus resurrected, and his resurrected body that's going to be eternal, that's going to last us for eternity. Never to die again, never ever to die, never to corrupt, never to get sick, never to blemishes, never just, I can't imagine that. I don't know, I can't I mean, that's why the Lord didn't tell us these things. Paul said that when he went to heaven, he seen things that are unspeakable. You can't talk about them because you can't understand them. We live in mortality, not immortality. And when Paul got a picture of that when he was caught up and he got up there and talked about it, he came back and said, "Man, I had not seen nor ear heard, nor had entered in the heart of man the things God had prepared for them that love him." And that's all the description that you need to believe, is that it ain't going to be like this no more. And that's enough. That's enough. I'm glad he didn't tell us anymore, because if he had said, "Well, some going to have green eyes, some going to have red eyes, some going to have blue skin, some going you know what would happen?" Yes, you do know what would happen. And that's just the way a corrupt mind and the human mind works. That's why God don't tell us a lot of stuff. He just tells us enough that we need to know. And then you believe the scriptures and you go on with it and you get peace and joy out of it. Amen? All right. Believers' bodies at the resurrection, at the rapture, the first part of the second coming. The second part is what? The second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. You have the rapture and the revelation is what it's called. The second coming of Jesus Christ, Him actually coming to the earth. This first one that we're talking about, when our bodies are going to be changed, is the rapture. He does not come to the earth. We meet Him in the air. Amen? All right, well, here's your scriptures for this study. Revelation chapter... Oh, wait a minute. Nope, not that. Let me back up here. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51 to 53. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 to 18. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 21. Matthew chapter 22, verse 30. Revelation chapter 21, verse 17. Galatians chapter 4, verse 14. Revelation chapter 8, verse 11. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20 through 21. Luke chapter 24, verse 37 through 39. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 50. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 through 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51 through 53 again. Luke chapter 24, verse 30 through 31. John chapter 20, verse 16 and 17. Matthew chapter 28, verse 9. Luke chapter 24, verse 40 through 43. John chapter 21, verse 10 through 14. Mark chapter 16, verse 12. And that's the last scripture for our study for today on the believers' bodies of the resurrection. Resurrection being our subject that we're studying right now, the second letter R in the ABCs series. And good study. Good stuff. Good stuff. I'm not disappointed one bit about what we've learned today. Are you? Huh? Huh? Some of you women might be upset that you're going to be, that you're not going to be a woman anymore. You're not going to be a woman anymore. But just get over yourself. That's what the Bible says. And why would you want to argue with God about that? Show me something different. Show me something different. I've shown you what the Scripture says. You show me something different. If you want to stay a woman, stay a woman. But I don't think you're going to make it to heaven, because the Bible says you're going to have a body like unto His glorious body. Unless you get that body, you're not going. Because flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Amen? The next thing we're going to talk about is this is the first resurrection. That's exactly what the Word of God says verbatim. This is the first resurrection. What is the first resurrection? Well, that's what I've been talking to you about. This first resurrection is a description of many things that have taken place that all make up a time period, and it finishes being called the first resurrection. And it has to do with everybody that has to do prior to this first resurrection finishing up. Once this first resurrection finishes up, ooh-wee. Okay, there's a first resurrection and the second death. And we're talking about resurrection, but you'll understand it when we get into it and the way that the scriptures teach us. And you won't be confused about it at all. But it's a time period. It's a time period of events that have taken place over certain amounts of time that God has prescribed. And it all comes to fruition. And it's called the first resurrection. The first resurrection. And it's a whole bunch of different events that are involved in the first resurrection, okay? And we'll get back into that on our next study, and I hope you'll join us, and I hope you'll come on in there, and let's just keep on studying God's Word. What a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful book that He's given us. What a gift. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and His name was Jesus. Jesus is the name of a man. Jesus was the Word of God before He incarnated into the flesh. Wonderful stuff. All right, well, God bless you. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. I'll talk to you on the next one, the Lord willing, and the Lord bless you for studying His Word. I love you with Christ's love. Bye-bye.